We're doing the Drashat Ramban Torat Hashem Tmima, but in the Mosadar of Cook editions, they're missing this section. The Ramban is enumerating the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, and we're up to the second test. Vasheni, the second test, Lech Lecha Al-Arts Asher Areka. God told Avraham, go to the land I will show you. He told him, Lech Al-Arts Asher Lo Yada. God, so to speak, sent him out on a journey to a land that he didn't know. Kmo Shekatuv, as the verse says, Kasher Itu Oti Elokim Mibet Avi. As God sent me out on this path, this unknown path, so to speak, I'm going wandering, and I don't know where. V'sipel, Ve'even Sham Yizbeach L'Hashem Ve'ikav Shem Hashem. And the Torah tells us he comes to the land of Israel, he erects an altar for God, and he calls out in God's name, Lo'odeh Ashayah Doresh Emunat Aburei L'Rabim, to tell us that he let the masses know about the monotheism, the belief of God. V'lo Yamit Yarei Me'asher Karav. He wasn't scared about his history. He knew that when he was in Armenian territory, he was imprisoned for 10 years, he was tortured. He went through, we discussed last week and the previous weeks, the afflictions Avraham Avinu went through in the beginning of his life that the Torah doesn't even bother telling us about. The Torah just alludes to those things. And nonetheless, when he comes to the land of Israel, he's in new territory, you'd think he'd keep his head down. What do I have to tell people I'm a monotheist? No, Avraham comes to the land of Israel, test number two, he goes on this journey, he doesn't even know where he's traveling. And when he gets there, what's the first thing he does? He sets up an altar and he starts preaching monotheism once again. That's test number two, says the Ran. Vashlishi, the third test. Vayhi Ra'av, there was a famine. Shutzach od lacet mimkom moshavo. He had to leave a second time the place where he was living. V'saval ha'yoker v'ra'av kodem tzito. And until God told him to leave, until he had to leave because of the famine, He sustained high prices. He sustained a family and all the people with him during a period of a famine. And then he had two difficulties, two tests, so to speak, with Sarah. Those were two more tests, that his wife was abducted by Pharaoh, by Avimelech. And here the Torah goes at length and describes what happened with Sarah and Pharaoh, Lodia Nisayon Vanis, to let us know how great the test was and how great the miracle was. And now says the Rambam, but you should know there's a secret. There's a secret concept that the Torah is teaching us here that gives foundation to many things in the Torah. Certainly the Torah is not a history book to tell us the history of the Jewish kings and other kings. Why does the Torah go to such length to tell us the history of the forefathers? How many wells did Yitzchak dig? Why is that important? Why does the Torah have to tell us the details? Yaakov comes to the well. There are shepherds. He talks to the shepherds. He sees Rachel. There's Rachel coming at a distance. This is what the Torah has to tell us. But I found the Midrash, says the Ramban, that explains all of this. And this is the following concept. This is key to reading all of the book of Bereishis. Kol ma she'ira la'avot, siman levanim. Whatever you see the Torah tells us happened to the forefathers is a sign as to what will happen to the children, to future generations. V'chenu, and so it is that God wanted to let us know, to let the prophets know what's in store for the Jewish people in the future. And so to speak, God took the potential future and took it from potential to in action. How did God do that? By making a minuscule inaction of the future in the forefathers. Here the Ramban gives us a beautiful point. Ordinarily, when we read Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, we understand, you want to know the future? Well, God showed it to us. It's encapsulized by what happened to the forefathers. The Ramban is saying, no. God wanted, so to speak, to seal in the future. And we know that whenever there's a prophecy, whenever there's, so to speak, a will of God up in heaven, so there are levels before it can come to fruition down on earth. There's a decree up in heaven. Then someone has to think it down below. Someone says it. Someone does an action. From the action, then it can begin happening. That's why the prophets very often did actions. That's why we on Rosh Hashanah, we dip our apple in honey. We're saying, we're beginning the sweetness. God, we've done an action. We say it, we begin the action, and whenever you begin an action, so to speak, in heaven, it's as though, you know, it's already begun. The process has started, now it's only a question of following through. That's why we say, be so careful what you say. Because when a person says something, he's brought the potential for something to happen from up in heaven to now it's down on earth. It's being said. Now it's only a step away from happening. As far as if we look at the order, the sequence of things happening on earth below. So the Ramban, notice again the beauty of the Ramban in one sentence. He gives us such a beautiful chidush. He says the concept of Ma'ase Avot Siman Nebanim is really a concept of ensuring that this is the future of the children. Where we have to pause here because we're out of time.
How is that different than saying you want to see the future?
Because it's not just a question of seeing the future, it's also a question of ensuring the future. I mean, that's what the Ramban is adding. Okay, so that leads us to a different discussion that there are always multiple meanings. Whenever God makes a decree, that decree can go in many ways. But when it's performed in one way, that's already ensuring it'll go that way. But that's already my explanation.
Okay. That was